Okay, I'm going to read Psalm 126. It's a short, brief psalm. My text is from Ecclesiastes, and that's going to be chapter 3, verse 4. But first, Psalm 126, and then I want to talk a little about this subject that we hear of. Hear now, people, hear his word, God's infallible word, the true word of God. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goes forth and weeps, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And as I said, my text is from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 4, where the wise writer says, there is a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts and minds. In Jesus Christ, always in Jesus Christ, we say things in worship, we pray. And we pray you bless this word to us now. For your great name's sake, the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. There is a very large body of study concerning human behavior, physiological and sociological study of human behavior. And, sociologists are making studies all the time of various societies around the world, of people and their behaviors, small groups of people, large groups of people, etc. Of course, there's many studies involving sexuality, human sexuality, or behavior of human beings. There are also some, but not as many studies, but it's surprising that there aren't, on laughter. And it's everywhere. It's a remarkable thing. It's a remarkable study, laughter. But it's something that has, relatively speaking, surprisingly little devotion of study to it. I mean, there's studies out there, a number of them, but not as many as in other concerning other human behaviors and such. And I've noticed that our little ones, certainly little Violet, she's over a year old now, and she's already laughing and smiling and doing things like that when she sees us, even when she sees me. She smiles and she laughs sometimes, and it's a joy, and we laugh back. Of course, it's a joy. That little baby that was here today, our youngest one, granddaughter, Vienna, she's beginning to smile when you come into view, and she recognizes you, and you could get her to make a little sound, and it's fun to do. Babies 4 months old are already beginning to smile and to laugh. It's a trait. If you go to any school during, playtime or whatever they're calling it these days, recess, and you listen to young kids especially running around, it seems that the only way they communicate is through laughter. They're just laughing, shouting, screaming, carrying on. And there's a lot going on with that and them. There is something that is important for us, and I want to get to it in a little bit, but I want to talk a little bit, just a little bit more about the physiology and sociology of laughter. I'm going to read a doctor's comments, not my own here, Dr. Nathan Lanning, in a second, but I want to have you focus early on the idea that laughter, what we laugh at, communicates a lot about us. It tells something about us. What we laugh at, who we laugh at, why we laugh. You know, you hear the words of the psalmist, right? This is obviously the appropriate laughter, the time to laugh, as the writer of Ecclesiastes says. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh. And they were weeping in captivity. They're weeping as they're sowing seed because there's not much gain. But in the future, there's going to be a time of rejoicing, right? And in this psalm, in the second verse, our mouth, when we let out of captivity, that long Babylonian captivity for 70 years, our mouth was filled with laughter, our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And so there's appropriate, definitely appropriate laughter and joy of a spiritual sort, right? It's appropriate, but there's inappropriate, and we'll talk about that in a bit. I just want to read something. I don't want to get too bogged down with reading comments from doctors or anyone else. But he says that laughter reveals that it is the result of neurons communicating with several sets of muscles simultaneously to elicit multiple responses. These muscles work in concert to cause the characteristic sounds and facial expressions associated with this behavior. Laughter, right? So he's talking from a physiological point of view, that there is a physiology, a biology, if you will, of laughter. It's in our DNA, as they say. There's nothing we can do about that, and nothing we should try to do about it, but it's there. First, our diaphragm and the rib muscles tighten to produce the sound of laughter, variably described as a chuckle, a chortle, a giggle, a guffaw, a titter, a cackle, or a snort. You know, all those things are biological and physiological in nature. They simply happen. By the way, did you know that you can tickle a rodent and it will make the similar sounds to a human in terms of laughter? Did you know that? Primates laugh. Did you know that? They do. Not all animals, but particularly mammals. Primates and rodents can be tickled and made to laugh. It's a physiological thing, and they have, you know, done studies about that. The constricting of these muscles results in air being squeezed through our vocal tract at a very high pressure to produce both the sound and the rhythmic nature of laughter. Most people have a characteristic laugh that includes both rhythmically melodic and non-melodic sounds. These different sounds occur from the air interacting with different components in our vocal tract. Each of these sounds is typically much higher in pitch than our normal speech. Also, whether we want to admit it or not, most people's intense laughs include a few snorts. Have you ever heard people snort when they laugh? That's a physiological thing. That is, if you get too intense about it, we all do it. Depending on the person's physiology and all, some are a little louder than others, but we all can and will do it. There's two other things that the doctor points out here, and that is that there are facial muscles, two sets of facial muscles involved in laughter, and that is the corners of the mouth and the eyes, around the eyes. Those muscles are also involved. So you got the diaphragm, you got the rib cage, you got the facial muscles of the mouth and eyes involved in that. And that's sort of the physiology, and that's all I want to do about that. I just wanted to inform you that there have been studies made. It is a physiological behavior, it's a natural behavior, and it's something that we need to consider. And I don't want to say control. That's probably not the right word to use. But we'll get to saying more about that. He also points out that what we do know about laughter is interesting and might be instructive as to the state of our spiritual health. And that's what I want us to focus on a little bit. Certainly the people in Psalm, the Israelites of Psalm 126, were spiritually healthy. They were wise to come out of captivity and rejoice and be glad and laugh about it, be happy about it, express it in that very real way. Now, there are a couple of things to say before we get into the spiritual aspect of it and Ecclesiastes and what it's saying. And that is, ordinarily we think of laughter in the main coming from physical stimuli like tickling playing or telling jokes, humor, or sometimes it's chemically induced. There's a pathological laughter, you know, people that are ill laughing all the time, you know, or very, very nervous, like people that laugh at funerals. They're so nervous and upset that they start laughing and they can't control themselves, and that might be a problem with their nerves or anxiety, uncomfortableness, and things like that. But actually, did you know they did studies about men and women laughing? And they found, and it's no surprise that women laugh more than men. that doesn't surprise me. They do. And I don't think you need a study to prove that. Just be observant. So that's one thing. And as I said, you can get primates and rodents to laugh by tickling them and other things. But I'm coming to make one more point. But before I make that point, I want to say that it's difficult, if not for impossible, for people to genuinely laugh. To fake laugh, to falsify a laugh. It's almost impossible to do that. You can tell. It's almost easy, very easy to tell when someone is faking a laugh. Because of all this physiology involved, it's extremely difficult to fake a laugh. I mean, actors may be able to do it after a lot of practice and things like that, but it's very difficult to do, if not impossible, to some extent. And usually you can tell that it's not really genuine. It's not real because of the facial characteristics that happen and just the way the physiology is. But the more important thing to note is that I think we mainly consider laughter to occur from play or from tickling or from humor, telling jokes. But in the main, the majority of our laughter occurs in normal conversation. The vast majority of our laughter, our chuckles, our ha-has, and all, come in normal conversations, in social interactions with each other. We do not mainly laugh because of joke-telling and humor and tickling and playing around. We do, but mainly there's laughter among us because of social interaction. And again, you can observe that all the time when people are talking. Sometimes they come to a pause in their conversation, and they'll chuckle or they'll laugh, and they'll continue on, and maybe they'll laugh again. I like to do that with my wife. I laugh all the time at home, and I'm laughing hilariously, but she's not finding it funny at all. And so it's just like, even now I'm smiling, I'm laughing, and you're not really. I mean, you might smile a little bit, but I'm doing most of the laughing, doing the talking. Now, there is that kind of laughter where we laugh, and the laugh punctuates our conversation. It doesn't come in between a phrase. It usually is, it's between phrases. So there's an example given. We will maybe smile or chuckle, say, "Hey, by the way, what time are we meeting? Ha ha." But we will not laugh and chuckle or whatever, and by splitting up that phrase by saying, "What time are we meeting?" It doesn't work that way. Usually we punctuate our conversations with laughter, but we finish the phrases and we don't come in between. This is all studied. This is all something that is not, it's out there. And it's not something that I have made just from my observations. Although if you observe it and you take time to look at it and consider it, you'll find out that this is the case. But there's also laughter there's laughter that comes in our ordinary conversation, punctuating our phrases and all that stuff. But there's laughter that comes without words. A laughter that we can't control. We can't use words, like when we're being tickled. The only word that I can say when I'm being tickled is stop, stop. You know, that's about it. We can't talk when that kind of laughter comes on. Or when it's a hilarious humor, and it brings you to tears, right? You're laughing so hard at the humor, you can't talk. You can barely talk. So there's that kind of laughter. There's a laughter that punctuates our conversations and in between the phrases and all, and there's laughter that comes before our conversation. So it's a study. I just want to impress upon you that there's a lot more to our laughter than we think or ordinarily would think. Until we sit down a little and listen to something like this or read an article or two about it, we begin to realize that it's a very instructive behavior. Everyone does it. Even the dourest of people laugh from time to time. Even depressed people do laugh from time to time. It is an extremely important behavior that has a physiological and sociological basis. Did you know? One other thought before we get to God's laughing and our laughing. There's very little laughter happening in solitude. It's usually interaction. People don't laugh in solitary confinement unless they're ill or unless there's some kind of humor being presented to them on a television or something like that. They're hearing jokes, or the next door inmate is telling jokes. But in solitary, there's very little, if any, laughter. So it's a social phenomenon as much as anything, in the main. But now we come to God's laughter. The Bible talks about laughter. Obviously, we saw it in Psalm 126. There's also Ecclesiastes, which says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh, time to mourn, a time to be glad, right? Which indicates that there is an appropriate time for weeping and mourning and crying, and there's an appropriate time for laughing. And we need to note that. Now, the laughter that God has in mind when it comes to himself is different from ours. Okay, in Psalms 2, 37 and 59, for example, God is found laughing at the people who are shaking their fist at the Almighty. And he laughs, what does the psalmist say to them? He laughs them in derision. And he's saying in Psalm 59, he laughs at the heathen. He laughs in derision of them. The reason why is because his laughter is followed by his wrath. So he's laughing at their efforts to fight him, to oppose him, to conquer him, if you will. He laughs at that. And his laughter, though, is indicative of his wrath to come. Just to give you one quote here from the psalmist in Psalm 37:13, where, but thou, O Lord, this is Psalm 59:8, shall laugh at them, thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. And then in Psalm 37:13, I want to read that verse. The psalmist says, the Lord shall laugh at him, for the heathen, those that are opposed to him, for he sees that his day is coming. So God's laughter at the heathen, at those who are opposed to him, is a laughter that's followed by wrath. And that is the case with God, and according to the scripture, why he is laughing. That is not really the case with us. We might laugh along with God, a little bit, but our laughter comes from being either stimulated, tickled, or told a joke, or something like that. Or all laughter comes from joy. Not much research on that kind of laughter. The laughter that comes from joy. From a heart of joy. But that's exactly what we see in Psalm 126, right? Led out of captivity. These people are laughing and are glad because they knew that God led them out of captivity and is going to establish them at home once again. And so they're so happy and so glad and so relieved by the Lord's mercy towards them that they break forth in laughter. That's the laughter of joy. That is appropriate laughter. That's laughter, like this morning, for example. I know everybody laughed at me because I was startled, but there was joy in the midst of us because someone, a young person, was declaring her faith, and there's joy. Sometimes there's tears of joy, we say, but it's kind of a mixed thing with laughter and joy there. But there's joy in the midst of us when a person professes his or her, especially a young person, but anybody, right? That's appropriate. That's the kind of laughter that the wise writer of Ecclesiastes has in mind. I point out to you, as others have, on this topic, perhaps you can't even help but think of of Abraham and Sarah. Remember, God did two visits. The first visit, he told Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a son, that he was going to be the first in a great line of kings, culminating in Messiah. And they laughed in a worshipful way. They just were so glad to hear that. And the scripture points that out, that they laughed. And they were glad in the Lord. In fact, Abraham was so glad that he said, of course I am going to circumcise all my male children with the circumcision, the mark of the covenant, and I am going to name my first son, what's his name? Abraham's first son, Isaac? Well, he's going to name one of his sons, I should say, Isaac. Now, you know what Isaac means? He laughs. Abraham, Sarah, they laughed with joy in hearing that God is going to bless them with a child. And he's going to be the first king in a long line of kings that culminates in Messiah. And he names his son Isaac. Being interpreted, he laughs. That's what the name means. Because of the goodness and the mercy of God. Now, most of us remember the second visit. When God visited the second time and reiterated his promise that Sarah at the age of 90 is going to have a child. And Sarah laughed, but she laughed in doubt, in sort of a mocking way. That's normally, ordinarily, what she laughed twice. The first time was good. The second time, upon the second visit, she laughed, was not so good. And she denied it, remember, when she was confronted and all that. No, I didn't laugh, but she did. That was inappropriate. She laughed at the promise of God. Is anything too hard for the Almighty? We smirk, we laugh. That is inappropriate laughter. And that's the kind that we ought to avoid. Hezekiah, he attempted to reinstate the keeping of the Passover, and that was a decree from the king. And what was the reaction of many in Israel? They laughed him to scorn that he was going to try to reinstitute the Passover in his day. And he did it. But they laughed to scorn. Both in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, there's caution about laughter. Jesus himself was mocked and laughed at when he said that Jairus' daughter was sleeping. They mocked you. They laughed at him. Doesn't he know anything? Doesn't he know better? He's not asleep. She's dead. And they laughed at him. Inappropriate, see? Laughter. I think from all this that I've said, we can formulate a few principles. And I just want to lay them down. Like I said, that the good doctor said here, that laughter is a physiological and a sociological thing. Most of our laughter occurs during conversations of socializing and fellowship and things like that. That's most of our laughter. It's a physiological response. We need to realize, though, that there is a time to laugh and a time not to laugh. Or, to put it in another way, there's an appropriate way to laugh and an inappropriate way to laugh. Now, I used to watch the late shows, the Late Show, and with Jay Leno, or before that Johnny Carson, and people like that, and they were funny. Not always. There was inappropriate humor during that time, especially the sexual jokes, the innuendos, and things like that. Not funny. Not supposed to be funny to a Christian. Sometimes we laugh, and that tells us something about ourselves when we do, even if we hold it back, even if we say it's objectionable, even if we think that it shouldn't be, and we still laugh, we still smile. It shows us something about ourselves. But they were funny. Generally, they had a good sense of humor and a pulse on things. Lately, I cannot watch any of the late night talk shows, which are full of comedy, or supposed comedy, because they're full just from beginning to end almost. dripping with sarcasm and mockery of our present, of our system of government, of capitalism, of all these things. These people are the kind of people that the Ecclesiastes writes about, that in laughter there is much, in much mirth there is great sorrow of heart. They're angry, they're sarcastic, they're even sadistic, and it's behind their jokes that you can tell these people are not happy. There's a vanity of laughter, a vain laughing that has been, that's very popular these days. It's all over the place in our culture, and we have to watch out. You know, oftentimes we warn our children, we warn people to stay away from the pornographic sites and the sites that are, you know, of a sexual nature that are bad for you. Once you get involved in that stuff, you sink into it. It's hard to avoid it. It just becomes habitual for some people, far too many than we care to mention. And I'm including Christians, and people in the ministry too. They get wrapped up into this stuff, and they sink into the mire of it. And it's very, you got to stay away from it. But also, we want to warn our young people, we want to warn ourselves to stay away from those websites, those videos, those television shows that are full of sarcasm and mockery towards dignitaries. And, you know, they're just inappropriate. It's inappropriate laughter. And we don't want our young people, we don't want ourselves getting sucked into that. It's going to hurt us spiritually. I know it's hurt me because I've seen too much of it already. I'm talking about the inappropriate laughter, not the pornographic stuff, but the laughter. And it's hurt me already. I can tell it's hindered me spiritually. And so I'm just sharing that with you, brothers and sisters. You need to be just as diligent to stay away from inappropriate laughter, the kind of dirty jokes and bad jokes and sarcastic and terrible mocking jokes, mocking of Christians and Christianity, of God and what we believe in, and mocking of the president, whomever he may be, and you know, people in power and all that. We don't want to go there. And we want to be as diligent to stay away from that as we are from staying away from fornication, from television shows and movies and sites that display fornicative behavior. And that's because it does tell us something about ourselves. There is a time to laugh and a time not to laugh. There is appropriate laughter and there's inappropriate laughter. And remember, they mocked Jesus, they laughed at him, they scorned him. In Job, for example, there are seven references to laughter among Job and his friends. Some of them are appropriate in laughing at because God has blessed and God is there and God is present even in sorrow, and there is a joy from that. But there was also a mocking of Job and believing God and talking about his righteousness, and he didn't do anything wrong, and they mocked him and they laughed at him and things like that. There was inappropriate laughter. And so we know that the Bible is many, many places, it's not isolated, talks about laughter and gives us direction on what we must do, because it's natural. It's, like I said, it's physiological. It's sociological. When we get together, it's gonna happen. And as I said, mainly in our conversations. That's when most of our laughter occurs, in our interactions with one another, not from tickling or joke telling. But we need to be aware of all that. It's a gift. I was so happy after this morning service, and I'll blame it on Sarah, not my daughter, Sarah Fedor. I'll blame it on her. I was happy. I was smiling.
I wasn't like laughing hysterically or anything, but I was happy. I was joyful. And I want to encourage myself tonight, and I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to be joyful over your salvation and in your salvation. It's medicine for the soul. And stay away, as much as you possibly can, stay away from that inappropriate laughter. And I think most of it, not always, but most of the time you can tell which is inappropriate and which is appropriate. To the praise of our glory. And by the way, do you know that some of you, or some of the people in this church, that you know, they have a baptism. And what do? After they have a baptism, they take some pictures, they're smiling, they're laughing, and then they go home and they have a party. A small party, not a rowdy party, or a good party, or appropriate party, right? With the family and friends, rejoicing in their salvation, rejoicing in the promise of God. That's the kind of appropriate laughter that God's talking about. You're going to laugh. Do it appropriately. Let's pray. Heavenly Lord, we pray that you would find us doing so, that we would be using that gift that you give us, that gift of laughter, that gift of joy here, to joy in the things that are spiritual, to joy, have great joy and and just happiness of spirit in our salvation and with others in their salvation. Rejoicing in the things of God. For we pray in your name, the name of Jesus, these things. Amen.